You are listening to the Transformation Table Podcast, where we talk about God's business.
Morning, morning, guys.
Mora, mora.
Mora, Omo. Hello, leader.
Mora.
Mora, leader. Mora, Anthony. Mora, Samuel. Mora, Sue. Morning, Umbenya.
Mora, mora.
Leader, I wonder if we can ask you to open in prayer for us again this morning, please.
Good morning, Father, Lord. Father God, we are. Come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for being together again. Thank you that you are a constant in our lives. If we are traveling, if there's rain, if there's darkness or light, voice or no voice, you are there, and you are good and you are faithful. We praise you, Lord. We come to you and ask you today that you will reveal the whole truth to us, that where there is still veils between you and us, that you will remove it and you will bring revelation to us so that we can stand in awe of your goodness and your love and your faithfulness. We ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alida. Appreciate it. So I think let's get into our discussion this morning. Guys, Henry said that he's not going to be able to join us. They've got a long trip ahead. They're going into the deep Bushmanland. And I think it ties up so beautiful with Anthony's question of last week. So I'm going to quickly tell you what Henry is doing, and then I'm going to ask Anthony just to ask us that question again so that we can get into it. Some of you that might be on Henry's group remembered about 6 or 7 years ago, we were praying very hard for an unborn baby. The doctors diagnosed or saw on the scans that the baby had got serious brain problems. If I remember correctly, they actually picked up on the scan that there's almost no brain. And they surrounded themselves with prayer, and the little girl was born, and she was fine, a little Eva. And then last week, Friday, Eva and her little brother, she's now 6 years old, her and her little brother were playing. She fell, and she died. She passed away from the fall. And so Henry is on his way to go and do the funeral for the family. So it's a devastating story, you know. It's very hard sore. And you know, Anthony, if I remember correctly, maybe just give us that question of yours again, you know, about the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can get into that.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, this is also now, you know, telling us the story is just brings that question up again. Is if the Holy Spirit is as strong as we perceive Him to be and as the Bible says He is, why do these kinds of things happen? You know, if we as children pray to Him and ask Him for help, and He doesn't help us. If He's as strong, it feels to me personally, it feels that He doesn't help us, that He doesn't want to, because He is by power, He's got the power to have saved that little girl. I mean, we prayed for her, and when her brain was, and it was a miracle, and then this happens. And how do we explain this? You know, how does it, this is difficult. I mean, now you brought this, now you put it on the table. How do we explain the working of the Holy Spirit here? And that's basically the question that I asked last week. You know, is the Holy Spirit really as powerful as He says He is? As the Bible says He is? If He raised Jesus up and He went and took Him right out of hell and He raised Him up from the dead, that's how powerful He is, according to Romans 11. Why did this happen? That's the question.
Thank you, Anthony. Yes, absolutely. So, Anthony, to be honest with you, I personally don't have a good answer for that. I could see Peter was having a smile, so let's dig into the wisdom. Peter, can I ask, put you on the spot there, please?
That's probably one of the questions that is the most asked ever. You know, we question why. Why do bad things happen to good people? And it causes pain and suffering. And the Bible doesn't really give us very clear answers. We know that the Holy Spirit is fully Almighty God. He's not less powerful than Father God or more holy than Jesus. He is fully, fully, fully God. And he has his great plan of redemption, and everything he works to the good of those who love him and who are the called, the chosen, those who have received Christ as their Savior. That's what the Bible says, Romans 8:28. But when bad things happen, it's not always punishment. Sometimes the storms of life come, not always to drown you. Sometimes they come to blast the way clear in front of you, to take away things that are delaying your breakthrough. And that can be anger, because we think the way we think, but God has his own thoughts. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. The biggest challenge is any time that we pray, God can say no. Or he can say wait. Or he can say yes. And that's his business. We have absolutely no control. He's not an ATM that we can just punch in a code and load a formula, and this power operates for us. It's not like that. Sometimes bad things happen to get certain people to rely only on the grace of God, where they cannot do it in their own strength. Sometimes it can be God disciplining a sinful child. It can be that. It's not always that. Sometimes we have the privilege of carrying pain and suffering so that other people can go free from it. Let me say that again. Sometimes we go through stuff so other people don't have to. And we are being used by God as an intercessor, a tussenbeidegangers, between that person and their predicament. Sometimes it is just a huge privilege and an honor to go through pain and suffering so that others may go free. Because then we are sharing in the sufferings of Christ and bringing glory to God. And so we don't always have clear answers. But one thing I must say is you cannot separate the Holy Spirit from God. The Holy Spirit is God. They operate three in one. It's a mystery. And if we could figure out all the mysteries of heaven, we wouldn't need Jesus, because we would be God. And that's a thing of, to me, it's a thing of, the older I get, the easier it is for me to say, you know what? I just don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't have the answer to that. When I was a young, cheeky upstart, I knew everything about everything. I was unteachable, man. But slowly, God has been showing us these things. I'll give you an example. On Monday, my wife and I have just started attending a different church, a small startup church in a school hall. A beautiful bunch of people. On Monday, the power was switched off, but the boiler was left on. And the entire place, gas heaters, chairs, curtains, sound equipment, everything burnt to an absolute crisp. Now, whose fault was that? How could we have affected that or prevented that? There's no way. It's immediately that was from the realm of the possible into the realm of the impossible. And that makes it God's battle. It's not our battle. It's not our battle to fight. Most of the times we get caught up because we are wanting to be in control all the time. We're wanting to be in charge. That we get miffed when things don't go the way we think they should go. But how many times over my life have I had to look back and say, Lord, thank you that it did not go that way? You know, Abigail, David's wife, king's wife, she came to him. Her first husband had died, leaving her a lot of wealth and prestige. She could have a very high position. And instead of choosing that, she chose to submit to her difficult decision just to become a better person. And she took all of that she could have, and she gave it to King David. And she married him and became his second wife. And so the story goes on. These are things that we just have to say, well, Lord, I don't know, but I know that you know. And I think, as I said, there's no easy answer. I see Peter Maria's back on the group. I hope you're talking by now. Because this is a real warm patat question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, why do good things happen to bad people?
Uncle Peter,
Yes, sir.
if I may, this is I'm not necessarily now. I think I want to make this statement. The Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God. I 100% believe that in my heart. But when, especially when you're a person who's grown up without a father or parents, like you, and in my case, me, but I believe in a lot of cases, a lot of people that's going to be listening to this now. You come to Father God, you place your hope and your expectation in Him, and then that what you prayed for doesn't manifest. Specifically concerning, let's take this example that Menzo gave us now this morning about this young girl that passed away. If you're an orphan and you go to God and you ask God for help, this is definitely not His will for that baby to have died. It's difficult for me as a person to believe that it was the will of God for that little girl to have passed away. Now, if I come to God and ask God, please, Lord, help this person, and the Lord doesn't help that person, then I start associating that God doesn't want to, because I know in my heart that he's got the power to do it, but he didn't want to do it. And then I start questioning, but does God really care? Does he really love? And I think that's a question that a lot of people are struggling with, especially when you've come to God and you really come to him with your whole heart. And you may be this broken person, or you've gone through, you're busy healing, you're busy walking this journey now. You've given your heart to God, and now you start placing your expectation in God, and it feels to you like God disappoints you. And then people start moving away from God because I asked the Lord to help me, and he didn't. I prayed, Lord, for this person, and he didn't. Didn't help us. Now, I'm with you 100%. The fact is, we can't explain the Holy Spirit. Nobody in the person sitting on this table can truly say the heart of God. We can't speak on God's behalf. He's the only one that can speak on his behalf. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide and lead us with this. The problem is that a lot of people are moving away from God because they've placed the expectation in God, and then they've prayed for something, and it was something that was very important to them, where you expected Father to come through as a father, because he says he's our father, and then he doesn't. And then how to deal with that disappointment that happened there? Why didn't God answer this prayer? Why didn't God save that little girl there? Why didn't God help that person that I prayed for? I mean, they're Christians, they love God. Why did they have to go through what they have to go through? A lot of people, I understand, this was the will of God, but a lot of times I don't think that it was the will of God, like this little girl now. In my heart of hearts, I can't believe that it was the will of God for this little girl to die. Could not have given her a miracle a few months back, and 6 years later, she falls and she passes away. And then a lot of people move away from God, and they don't want to serve God anymore, because to them, their perception of God is just that he doesn't care. And that was my perception for many, many years. I thought, God doesn't care. He's not really a father. And what happens as soon as I get under pressure, then I move away from God. Because if this is the way that Father God loves me, then I don't want this kind of love. And a lot of people, they backslide, they move away from God because they hurt, they feel disappointed in God. And you know what? I think that's the question, and nobody can really answer that question. I mean, it's difficult answering that question, but holding on to God in spite of what happened there and still believing that the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to do what he says he's going to do, do what the Bible says he's going to do, and understanding that if he doesn't do that, that means it wasn't his will, is very difficult to understand, comprehend.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. And you have to say that you said there that you ask God to help this person and he doesn't. Now, immediately, I have to ask you, how do you know he hasn't? You don't have godly knowledge. You're not God. There's a very childish aspect to what you are describing, like a sense of entitlement. And we do not, we may not question the goodness of God. It's not up for debate. God is a good God, but he's in charge. And he controls the storms of life. And that's it. I think it's a very childish response. Let's just say you had a father. And during your growing up years, I guarantee you there would be times when he would say to you, no. And you say, can I go fishing with Fanny? And he'll say no. For whatever reason. Are you going to vip? Or are you going to surrender to his authority and say, well, he's in charge. He knows best. I don't understand. But I surrender to him. That's the closest we can get when Job, in chapter 2, verse 10, I just want to read that. When Job was at his very worst, at his lowest point, his own wife turned against him and challenged him to curse God and die and just give up, just turn your back and don't and challenge the goodness of God. And he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and yet we will not receive evil or bad?" And that is our challenge. So maybe somebody else, I see the hands up.
Yes, Priya, go for it, please.
Yeah, thanks. Morning, everyone. Sorry. A few years ago, I was approached by a woman. I just got saved, and we had a prayer meeting one morning, and afterwards we had coffee together, and she sat at our table, and she asked this question. My sister loved the Lord so much, and she got cancer. Now, I want to say this morning, can cancer, or this question, can cancer be grace? And she said that they trusted the Lord and prayed and fasted and did everything that they as believers could do for her sister to be healed. And unfortunately, her sister died. And she also brought up this question, so why did this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? And when I opened my mouth, what came out of my mouth, I thought, I never thought of this. I never was so bright to think of this. But I said to her, "How long was your sister sick?" And she said, "For many years." And there was times that it looked like she was healed and she was in remission. And then there was a setback. Now, setbacks happen to us because of three reasons. Reason one is we live in a fallen world where other people make decisions. You don't ask to get a reverse out of your house in the morning and the other car drive into you or slips a robot no license under the influence. And most of the times, Anthony, you as an ex-tow truck guy, remembers how many times the people that is not drunk, the people in the other vehicle dies, or children. And when she asked me this question, I said to her, "Oh, this is what came out of my mouth, and this is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit." Because I said to her, so they said eventually to her, "We can do nothing for you. There's no hope. There's nothing we as humans can do anymore for you as doctors." So they gave her, I can't remember, let's say there was 6 months left. And when I asked her how many months she's got left, they gave her, she said 6 months. And I said, "Wow, what grace have God given her that you can make sure in that 6 months you are in the right standing with God. Forgive where you have to forgive. Get sorted out everything. And get your life, prepare yourself, because the will, perfect will of God is to get to come into eternal life. Because Paul says to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord." That young child will never want to come back because of where she is now. So we see, and it's bad, and we saw the death, and we hear about this. But God says, "Don't fear the one that can kill you. Fear the one that can kill you and get sent you to hell. That little child is in heaven." And when I had cancer, I remember that the time when I spoke to that lady. You know, there was a time where you don't know when death is going to come, and you don't want to go to hell. You want to be ready to walk over into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, into heaven, into eternal life. So you make sure that at that time when I was sick, I just wanted to make sure that if there was any issue with somebody, anything, I had to sort that thing out. Phone them up. I did. I phoned people up. I said, listen, we had some conflict at a time. Please, I ask you to forgive me. I forgive you. Even people that was not there anymore. And a few years back, a very good friend of mine, now there's a song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And at one stage in the song, the guy sings, he gives and take away. And I didn't like that song because how can God give us a miracle, this child, and then takes that child away? Now, I'm a strong believer. We can't say to a child or to children whose dad drove out of his business and was hijacked and killed, that the Lord came and took their dad like that. Our Father God is good. The Holy Spirit is good. There's no evil in him. There's no darkness in him. He hates sin, but he doesn't hate sinners. So what I'm trying to say is a very good friend of mine, a few years ago, his wife had breast cancer. And yeah, we truly trusted that the Lord healed her. She was in remission, and then it came back. But so bad that at the end, on his 40th birthday, she died. She went to heaven. And how we all fasted and prayed and were so, we believe that the Lord is going to say a healer and a testimony. And there's such godly encounters that they had together when she was lying on her deathbed, where she went into heaven and came back. And at one stage, she said to him the day when she died, just before she went to heaven, she said to him, death is near. Listen to this. Death is near. And but she said to him, and she was like in a coma. She said to him, but don't worry. Death has got no power. The sting out of death has been taken out. And she said to him, don't worry. Death cannot take me. When death came to take her, he just took her to the Lord. And the peace that came of him, when he sent out the message that she went to be with the Lord, I was in dire straits. Must I phone him? And what do you say to him? I said, my brother, how are you doing? How can I ask him how you doing? And are you okay? So when I phoned him, by God's grace, he answered the call. And at that stage, the power of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, was not in words. Not to explain to him why she went. Just crying with him. Paul says this in the word. He says, if somebody cries, cries with them. Because this is where the power is, where the comfort is. Because knowing that everything will work out for the good, for those who God loves and who are called according to his purpose. So, yes, we don't have all the answers, but we will surely see. When I went through this thing at the CCMA for 8 months, I was like, at times, crazy. I wanted to lose my mind. How is this possible? How can this happen to me? And the shock, even people now afterwards hearing about this, saying, but you two guys had such a good relationship. And I said, yes, I know. And that's what makes it so bad, that we give at times so much pain. But who was the one carrying me through this? Who was the one who gave me strength? Times when I had cancer, and especially with the chemo, the therapy and the treatment, there's times that you just pray to die. You can't explain it to someone, how you feel. And at that time, it's where the power of the Holy Spirit was there to comfort me, to strengthen me, to encourage me, to say to me, stand up and continue. Stand up in the mornings. Go to your computer. Sit at the back, even if you have to have your small emetic next to you to vomit. But just stand up and fight. And he was the one who took me through. If I look back at the 8 months at the CCMA, if I look back at my cancer, how many other things I can truly testify this morning about the goodness of God. God is good. Every perfect gift is from Him, and He doesn't take it back. So, yes, when I found my brother and asked him, I didn't say anything. I just cried with him. And afterwards, a few days after, he phoned me and he said, I will never know how much it meant to him that I didn't try to give him answers. He wasn't looking for answers at this stage. This family, yes, they've got questions, but they need to immediately. They need to understand. They need the people around them to come and be there for them and cry with them and pray with them. The Lord will show them at the time, because like Peter said in the beginning, you know, our misery becomes our ministry. Our tears becomes joy for other people. When you go through something, I remember, who's that lady whose son was in an accident a few years back, and the ministry that started after that is amazing. You know, so this friend of mine, a few months later, after his wife went to be with the Lord, and she saw a vision of two sons in heaven, David and Joshua. And that's how we believe, truly believe that she's going to be healed, because they didn't have children at that time. And then he phoned me one day and he said he wants to speak to me. He was in George and we met up. And I said to Hannah before I went to him to see him, I said to Hannah, he met somebody else. Today he's very happily married to a wonderful woman, sold out to the Lord. And they've got two sons, David and Joshua. But at their wedding, he asked me to say something. And while I was sitting there waiting for my time to say something, I said to them, I didn't, and it came to me, this song, He Gives and Take Away. The power of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something this morning. I realized that morning, He takes away our sorrow and He gives us joy. He takes away our fear and He gives us peace. He takes away our addiction and He gives us freedom. So, yeah, He gives and takes away. What He takes away is He will carry them through this time, and we just need to not trying to give them answers, not trying. Because remember one thing, never serve God because of what you can get from Him. Serve Him because of who He is. Good Father, and everything is perfect. Well, God doesn't make mistakes. God, I say it again, heaven is not in trouble. Heaven is not confused. Heaven knows exactly why things are happening. So, you know, Job said, even if you slay me, I will still praise you. But afterwards, when God revealed Himself to Job, He said, I heard about you. But now I have seen you, I know you. And as somebody that doesn't know everything, the only thing that I know this morning is I can tell you that God is good and that God will take you through these times. And you will look back and say, wow, thank you, Father God, for carrying me through by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, I hope, I don't want to say I gave some answers to what we are talking about, but I will never, never in my life believe, nobody can prove to me that God is not good and that God is not faithful and that God doesn't know what He's doing. Everything will work out for the good. That little girl is at a place she will never want to come back. And God knows exactly what will work out for the good. What does David say in Psalm 30? I can cry tonight, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah, thanks, Minza.
Yes, Rick. You know, I remember when that December, before your cancer started, we were very cute. We had the little gold. You said, become gold, become valuable to the ones
that's
around
you.
But we did not realize what the process would be, you know, that refining
fire
that you had to go through. Yes, that furnace, you know. And I suppose, if I may be very naughty, Freek, if you think back at your journey through the cancer, you are thankful for that journey. And we went through it with you in a sense, but we didn't deal with it every day like you did. But there was something that happened. You know, there was something that refining fire did what it did.
Yeah, for sure. And when you go through it, you don't see something good. You cannot see something good. You just live day by day, and you know how many times we cry out to God and say, "Oh, please take me. I'm ready. I want to go. I don't want to go on with this. I don't want to go through this." And it's saw the message now of Brother Peter, a man that is anointed and called by God to preach the word, to teach the word, and now I know exactly how he feels with the struggles with his voice. Because you remember, where was my voice in 2022? I didn't have a voice anymore. And because of a thing in my neck, in my, you know, I was this morning, I couldn't sleep last night. I was listening the whole night. It was at one stage, I just said, "Father, please, if you want to say something to me, please, I'm tired." But and it came to me that, and I didn't know we're going to talk about this. When my voice was gone, that tumor was so big, it was at the back of my neck, in my face, and it came down on my voice cords, stem, and up to my brain. It was pushing into my brain, so I had attacks, pain attacks, so much pain. But the afterwards, after my healing came, and I don't want to say I got into remission. I believe to be healed and to be cured. That's what that doctor wrote on my file. "We're giving you this treatment for you to be healed and to be cured." And I took it. When we went back for to the the doctor afterwards, he said to me and my wife, he said, "Even your the muscles, the sinovial, everything, where this tumor was, even, say again, Peter,
Nerves,
nerves
synovium.
and the ligaments and the small nerves, everything, and your vocal cords, everything." When they're putting that thing into your nose to check the camera, my wife could see that my vocal cords was moving 100% again. So my pain, my what I went through is to say to Peter this morning, "Brother, I know what you are going through, and I know how you feel. We need our voices, but hold on and stay focused. We know everything will work out for the good, and see this as a time of rest." But you know, I know Peter is not a guy that will say, "The Lord brought this over," or, "The Lord made me sick." That's not the truth. God doesn't make us sick. I believe that. But he will allow that to happen because of, like I said that happen because of we're living in a fallen world where other people make bad decisions. And the second reason why setbacks happen to us is because of we've got an enemy. We've got an enemy walking around like a roaring lion that hates us and wants to kill us. He's a murderer. He's the father of lies. So that's the second reason why setbacks happen to us. And the third reason why a lot of setbacks happens to me in my life, like the CCMA thing, is the choice that I have made. My choices brought to challenge. I was warned by the Holy Spirit through my wife. I was warned by the Holy Spirit through other people, but I didn't listen. And bad things happen. But I can look back now and say, can something good come out of this? Surely, I can testify this morning in that.
Thank you, Freek. Lida, I see you've got your hand up. Go for it, please.
Yes, we probably won't get the answer to our why questions. It's in the book of Job, it's the same. We never got the answers. We get the bigger picture because we read in chapter one, the meeting between God and the enemy and the discussion about Job's life. But we don't see that in our own lives or people around us. But what we do get is the same as Job. We get a revelation, a bigger revelation of the character of God in the midst of our questions and pain and sufferings and loss. And it's that revelation that will bring ourselves into a more intimate relationship with God and also other people into faith. If you think about the floods in Texas, it's a state that is the most Christian in the USA, I believe. And even in that, there's going to be such a great triumph coming through for the kingdom in the test from the testimonies and also the shaking from wrong religious or beliefs or things and the truth coming through that intimate relationship between us and God that is just priceless. And that's what every believer will testify. Our test, our most precious, it's just you can't be what you are now if you haven't gone through it, and that's the grace of God. So, Anthony, no one will fall away because of bad things happening from faith, because Jesus is our begin en die volleinde van ons geloof. And he will hold us and he will bring us near. He will pull us through.
Thank you, Alida. Yes, I agree with you 100%. It's all grace. It's all grace. Wim, you had your hand up?
Yeah, it is not. Can you hear my word?
What's can you hear you?
Right, friends, this is a very vital topic that we discussed today. When we come back to the mindset of the people, myself and everyone, people, mankind, we very quickly to ask the question why. Because that is a sort of confrontation. Let's take an example. My kid takes stuff out. Let's say he takes a lot of sweets and his brother gets nothing. Then we ask the question, my daughter, why did you do that? So why is a kind of confrontation? Typically, I put the other one on the spot. And as Alida said, and my other brothers and sisters said, the discussion about Job was trust and trust and again trust. But King David, Psalm, when if you open your Bibles or open whatever you have with you, and you open Psalm 13, 1-3, David teaches something completely different. Now, David was also in, if you look at the background of this psalm, David was in a massive amount of trouble. And we know, if we read the book of Kings, we know what trouble and a lot of other troubles. But what did David say to us here? What did he teach us here? Every hardship that comes upon us is most of the time temporary. Because God clearly states in Psalm 11, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. same with Job. He trusts in the Lord and God takes him through. But when you come to Psalm 13, David could have said the following. Why, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Why will you hide your face? David didn't take this approach. His trust in our Father in heaven, the Trinity, was so strong that he said, and listen to the words he used, and that is what we should embed it in ourselves. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart on a daily basis? How long will my enemy be excited? So David knows by a faith that it will pass away. When you go to verse 5 and 6 of the same psalm, he said, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because I have dealt bountifully, because he, who is God, has dealt with me bountifully. Now, what we say by this, I know everybody went through hardship in my own life, the same. But I think if you look at Job and our own lives, we come to a thankfulness to say, Lord, how long? And we can take ourselves, or everybody can look at his own past. Every pain, as Peter said, was a growth process. Why did certain things to me happen to me? So that I can be prepared and I can grow, so that our Father can use us when it's time to speak up for him. So thank you very briefly. David teaches us that how long? Because he knows, and this is what the Lord says to us through David, things will come to pass irrespective of what the pain is that you go through, a child that passed away, a relative that passed away, or your house burned down, or whatever happens. There will be a time when it passes away. Thank you.
Thank you, Mvim. Peter, I lost a little bit of track now. Was it were you first before Freek?
Yeah, it's me. In every pain and suffering situation, our faith is tested. Our character is being tested. Like Wim said, and thank you, Wim, you had baie goeie input vandag. Every pain and suffering situation is an opportunity for growth. We have to have the right attitude towards pain and suffering. In every situation like that, we need to grow to become better, not bitter. And just two examples, Rahab, the prostitute who hid the spies in Jericho, she wasn't a believer. She wasn't a Jew. But the Bible tells us that because she received the spies, she believed their God, she trusted him, she did not die as everybody else died. And so there's her faith that was tested. She didn't even know their God, and he brought her through it. In Genesis 16, Hagar, the servant of Sarai, is made pregnant by Abram, and Sarai chases her out into the wilderness, pregnant. Now she and the baby are probably going to die unless something happens. And the angel of the Lord found her in the desert and helped her. And she came to know him as, and she named the place as the one who sees and knows. So in every situation, for us to come to know God, as God sees what I'm going through, God knows how I'm feeling, God knows what this is costing me, and yet he is still with me through the fire. But he won't save me from the fire. He saves me through the fire. He saves me through the flooded waters. And so just one example out of my own life. My mom lost five babies, five miscarriages, and obviously a very big, each one is the loss of a loved one to the mother. And she went to our doctor at the time, an old Jewish doctor, and she asked him why, why? And his Jewish wisdom was, one day, maybe you will know. And about, 20, 30 years later, she had another baby, and his name was Peter Warren. And but by that time, my dad had died as a very young, very young man of 48, he died. And my wife, my mom would have been left with six or seven children and no income. And it's so looking back over our shoulder that we can see surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. The accidents that God has saved me from that I don't even know about, or things like that. And even bum decisions that I've made that God has brought me through. In my own life, I know I should have been dead over 30 times already, because I was looking for that. I was pushing the envelope to see what's out there. And yet I am. And like Frederick says, now he has a testimony. This, our church burning down, I'll tell you what, God is going to replace and better. And we are going to come through stronger and better. And Frederick's voice came through stronger. He now has added testimony. He knows how Peter feels. I can't wait to hear what Peter's going to come up with after he's had these months of having to be quiet before God. I can only imagine it's going to be fantastic. And in every bad thing, good will always come through at the end. Good always triumphs over evil. So, yeah. But good question, Anthony. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, I think we can. There's no magic answer here. There's only trust and belief. Benno, you had your hand up?
Thank you, Menzo. Before I start, I just need to ask Peter, because my English is not that good. What would be the English for straf en vergelding? Can you maybe answer that before I start?
Straf punishment. Is punishment. Straf is punishment. Jy kry 6 houe.
En vergelding?
Vergelding is retribution. Wanneer jy iemand terugkry vir wat hy gedoen het.
Okay. I want to take another view of death, especially this young girl that Freek was telling us about, or Anthony. You know, I've seen it so many times that so many good things, like Peter says, comes out of this. Me, myself, stood next to the bed when my father and my mother died. And I could see what happens to the family. I could see people going to their knees that hasn't prayed for months, for years. And all of a sudden, they're bending their knee before their God, led by the Holy Spirit. So there's always good that comes out of things. And there are so many things that we don't understand, of which death of and good people or bad things that happen to good people are just one of them. I mean, how do we understand that God, that Jesus could be born out of a virgin? How could we understand that he stood up from the death? This dying or bad things that happen to people are just some of the things which we don't understand now. And like Peter says, maybe one day we will understand it. What is retribution? Retribution we read about in the Bible many times. I mean, the whole Israel was sent to the desert for 40 years. But that wasn't straf. That was God's way in leading a nation through a period where they could come back to God. throw away the evil spirits that they even built a statue for. So there's a difference, and to my mind, straf you will only receive once you go to hell. On earth, you can't do that because God has already died for your sins, and there's no such thing. So there are many things that we don't understand, and through the Holy Spirit last time, my biggest lesson was that if you're led by the Holy Spirit and study the Word of God through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will understand more and more. If we'll ever understand why that girl died, I'm not so sure. But however, I do know that one day I will understand. And I do know that straf, well, I will only meet by going to hell, and I will not experience that in my life on earth. Thank you, Menzo.
Thank you, Mina, for that clarity. You know, Peter, you'll remember this. We were standing under the tree on the farm at Sikilele, you know, and Niku was speaking to the men, and he got the phone call that his daughter went into very early labor. I think 32 weeks or something like that. You know, and there was not much hope. And his family, you know, was going to take a beating, you know. And I went to him and I said to him, Niku, we'll understand if you need to go get home. You know, it's 2 hours drive. Well, the way Niku drives, it's supposed to be 20 minutes drive. But the thing is to be with your family. And he said to me, Menzo, where would I be? I build the kingdom of God, and he will take care of us. And I mean, last camp, little Noah was there, strong as an ox, running around. And he said, and Niku said, this little boy, you know, 8 weeks before he was supposed to be born, already put more people on their knees praying than Niku did in his lifetime, you know, 50, 55 years. And there's a whole story behind that. But we do not understand these things. So yes, Benna, thanks for that clarity.
Just before Anthony comes
before
in,
before you go, Peter, we pray every day, may thy kingdom come. So in essence, what it says is, God, I want to meet you. God, I want to go to heaven. I want to leave this evil world. I want to go to what you call heaven, and I want to be next to you. So to me, that's a positive, that if I die, I know that I bring the will of the Holy Spirit and the will of God, that I will meet God in heaven one day.
Thanks, Benno. I just want to have a last comment from me and then hand over to the other guys. I want to sum it up in one paragraph. We can be sure that our powerful God is in control and good will eventually win. Our compassionate God promises to walk with us in our suffering, because when we hurt, he hurts, and he can be trusted with all our pain, because nothing can separate us from his love. And at the end of the day, that's all I have. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Peter. Can't remember who was first. Let's give Anthony a chance first. That's okay with you, Freek?
Yeah, well.
Well, Freek was actually first.
Go, Anthony. I would like to close. You can go, Anthony.
I want to, while I was sitting here listening to it, the word For Henry, when you speak to Menza, the Lord told me this morning, while I was listening, the Holy Spirit said, but I gave her 6 years. She was supposed to die that day, and people prayed, and I blessed her with 6 years so that they can get to know her. So I blessed her with the extra 6 years. The one thing that I take off the story of Job was that Job, in spite of everything that happened to him, he did not stop talking to the Lord. And I think so many people, they get disappointed by the Lord and then they stop talking to the Lord. Job got to the place where he started questioning God's purpose. You know, he said, Lord, you know, he cursed the day he was born. And in my own experience, the one thing that I've learned from the Holy Spirit is that don't run away from him. Do not stop talking to him. Rather go to him and fight with him about your qualms or what you don't understand, but don't run away from him. Don't leave him. Instead, rather run to him. And I'm actually talking to myself now because it's been difficult in my own life. You know, I tend to isolate myself and not want to talk to people, especially not to God, especially when I think God is disappointing me. And I think I'm not the only person out there that does this. The important thing is that we do go to God, and even if we do fight with God about where we are, what's going on, but rather speak to him. Trust, the violation of trust, if you've grown up with the violation of trust, is very difficult to trust. And trust is not a feeling. It's a verb. It's something that you must exert and submit. Can only come if you trust. So if you trust the Holy Spirit and you trust God, then you will submit to what he does, what his choice are, and you will receive the outcome of that. Now, there's one Peter now, Peter Marais. You know, it's been 6 months. I've been actually like Uncle Peter. I've been anxiously waiting, and I've prayed for you, Uncle Peter. And Peter Marais, I prayed for you. And I'm waiting for the Lord to release your voice so that we can hear what you've gone through. Because I think the most difficult thing is when you're disappointed to go back to God and speak to him and say, Lord, you're disappointed. Why did you go? Why did you let me go through this? Why did you put me in this situation? Why are you doing what you're doing with me? I can't understand this. Instead of not speaking to God and deciding that God is not there for you, and that's like when Peter said, that's teenage thinking. The important thing is that you don't run away from God. And like Job, you go to God and you say, Lord, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this? And the Holy Spirit will answer you and he will come through for you. For he's a loving God and he's a good God. And it doesn't always feel like he's a good God, but he is a good God. And if you trust him, he will show you at the end of it the reason why we go through these things.
Yeah, I want to ask a question this morning, Menzo. I want to end this podcast this morning and discussion with a why, like Anthony said. We've got many whys, and as believers, we've got many whys, and we don't understand everything. We don't have answers for everything. But can I ask a question this morning? Father God, why? Why were you prepared to gave us your only begotten Son? Your Son that never knew something about sin? Why, Father God, were you prepared to give your Son for a fallen, messed up world full of sinners? Because the Bible declares everybody sinned and came short of the glory of God. How many times have I called out to God and say, why did he do it for me? Not talking about the time with cancer and all the other stuff, when I was busy dying in my sin. And the whole hell and everything, everybody shouted out, let him die and go to hell. It's like with Barnabas, when everybody, when Pilate said, I said, whom must I set free? Everybody shouted, Barnabas, the worst of all sinners that was supposed to hang on that cross in the middle. Why, Father God, why did you do it for this human race that is so messed up, so evil? Why didn't you just destroy this earth again, like you did in the time of with Noah? Is it, was it worse that time when it of what it is now? Why were you prepared to offer your son, for him to become sin, for him to take our punishment on him? And the only answer I can say to everyone listening now is, because God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten son. It was out of love. Love that doesn't give is not love. That's a thief. That's a fake. That's lust. Love is a giver. And God gave us his only begotten son. And if you believe in him, the word declares it. He said it with his own mouth, the word that became flesh, the one that said, I will go, Father, send me. I will die for them. Explain this. Explain this to me this morning. How is it possible that I can get saved through the death of another man on the cross, through his blood, who death couldn't even hold in the grave, who stood up out of that grave and walked out of that grave? And I believe in my whole heart, he went back to heaven, but he's coming back. Why is God? Why is he doing this? Because in the beginning, God never created a man. If he never created a man, a human being, in the beginning, God didn't create man to die, but to live with him forever. That is the desire, the purpose why God to rule and reign with him, to be his ambassador on this earth. Yeah, the end of this earth is coming. And then it's going to be glorious. It's going to be awesome. And you need to be ready. So if you want to reject, if there's nobody better that understands this morning, this day, how those parents are feeling, because he understands, Father God understands completely what they are going through, because he gave his son to die so that that child can go to heaven. So if you are listening to my voice now, don't listen to my voice, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is power. When we deserve to go to hell, but God gave his son, and his son died, and his son rose from the grave. And the Bible declares, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he rose from the grave, you will be saved. Those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So pray with me this morning. If you are at a place in your life where you know, but wow, how can God do this to me, for me? How is it possible that God can love me so much to give me his only son? Come on. There's no greater love than this. There's no greater sacrifice. I once stood in a worship service and I had one of my twins who was still a baby, and I hold him in my hand, Andre, who's sleeping in another room with my daughter-in-law and their baby. I hold him in my arms, and I was thinking how much I love this boy. And you know where I minister. By God's grace, working with people, ministering to people, rapists, murderers, robbers, evil, the people that did evil things. And you see how God saves them. And I stood there, and I was holding my boy, and I was thinking, yo, I love this boy. And it came to me, will you give your boy in the place of a murderer, a rapist, to die in that person's place, and that person can go free? And I had no answer at that time. We don't understand the love of God, the grace of God. But if you hear his voice this morning, standing at the gate of your heart, knocking, asking you to open up. He wants to give you answers. He wants to comfort you. But he wants you. And if you want to give your life to him this morning, pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, to be with the, for being prepared, able to come. You said you will come. You made the choice to come and sacrifice yourself. Because I believe the Father asked you, and he said, yes, Father, I will go. I will die in their place. I will take their punishment on me. I will become sin for you, before you, that they can come in the right standing with you. Father God, pray this now. Father God, I thank you for loving me so much, for giving me your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died in my place on the cross. I accept him today. I believe that he died in my place. I believe that he gave his life, he offered himself, that he bought me with his blood. And therefore, I thank you that your word declares, if I believe in you, I will not perish, but have eternal life. Forgive me my sins. Adopt me today as your child. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. And show me the way. Guide me, Holy Spirit. And teach me everything that I need to know about this Father that we cannot explain him to other people. An awesome Father, a good Father, with so much love for us. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Priyak. Thank you very much. Priyak, I'm not going to let you go yet. Can you quickly step in again? And let's just ask Father God to give Henry some wisdom and the words and be guided for that funeral on Saturday, please, Priyak.
Yeah, Father, thank you that we can stand in agreement for our brother Henry and Mandy, our sister. Father God, we know that they are called by you by their names and that they are anointed. And we pray, Father God, for wisdom, a word out of your heart. When Anthony said it this morning, that gift that you gave those parents, you gave it to them for 6 years. It could have been so different. They had 6 years to enjoy her. To be with them. But I pray, Father God, that you will speak through Henry out of your heart into the lives of the people that's going to be at that. I don't want to say funeral, that celebration of a child that had a good life for 6 years on this earth that was not supposed to be here. A child that is with you, I believe it with my whole heart. And I pray, Father, that lives will be touched through him, that you will comfort people, Holy Spirit, that you will carry them and give them strength through this time. Yeah, and that we can cry with them and that we can be there for them and thinking about them, praying for them. We thank you, Father, for Henry being the right person for this very, very difficult in the eyes of us situation. But Father, I know that he hears your voice and he will speak out of your heart. We pray for traveling mercy for them, and we pray for your protection, your provision, also for the other people on this group and their families, our loved ones. Thank you, Father God. We still believe and confess with our mouths that you are a good, good Father. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Freek. Thank you, guys, for an awesome meeting this morning. I think there was a lot of wisdom and good things that came out of it. And yes, I agree with you. We're looking forward to hearing Peter Marais' voice again. Peter, we are in unity about that one. But thank you very much for a great meeting, guys and ladies. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at the Transformation Table. Until next time, keep growing, keep walking in purpose, and stay about God's business.